you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Run and Plays podcast with Grant Lithman. I'm Kareth Burke. We're coming to you thanks to Wendy's. And there's some good news in the NBA. Number one, it's back! It's Thursday when we're doing this podcast. There are two games tonight, one this afternoon, Jazz and Pelicans, Clippers-Lakers, the marquee game. That one is at 6 o'clock our time. And then if you're listening to this podcast on Friday, there are six games on Friday. The ones that you can see on ESPN are Celtics-Bucks, Rockets-Mavericks. The NBA is back. Like, the WNBA, like, kind of got my appetite back for this kind of stuff. And then now it's the league that we cover, which is awesome. And even more good news to pile on top of this, Grant. The NBA said they did more COVID testing, and out of 344 players tested, zero are positive. Since July 20th. So lots of things to celebrate. The bubble as a concept is working right now. This is just the beginning. No games have been played at this hour. All of this sounds really positive. I think the protocols that the NBA has in place are strong so far. And that's what's going to hopefully keep this bubble a sickness-free zone.
That would be nice. Isn't it nice just relaying good news every now and then?
Yes.
Like, be like, hey, this is positive. Let's talk positivity.
Yeah.
NBA is back. That's exciting. Yeah. As you're saying, WNBA is going. So we got a taste to see what a bubble could look like without fans. We also got to see some NBA exhibition games. We got a taste of that as well. So we're almost primed for it now. So it's not going to be a shock to our system when we kind of watch it now. But either way, it's just going to be real competition. It's funny because these are eight regular season games, and they only matter to certain teams, really. The Lakers almost have their first seed kind of solidified. So, like, this game is more of just a, hey, we're back. The energy should be there, right?
Well, you would think so. I mean, they are playing the Clippers, and that game is – I think that game is going to have some juice to it.
I love it.
I'm excited for that one.
I love it. And then, yeah, you have the Jazz and Pelicans, so I don't know when this is being released. So, I'll just do this. Blank won the game, and it was a great game.
Oh, man.
It was that wow, what a game it was when won that game.
Right.
So yeah, I think I'm just excited to watch basketball again from the NBA, obviously what we cover. And yeah. I'm excited to actually have real games to really kind of break down what's happening. Everything's been speculation for so long that everything Warriors is going to be speculation, but if you're a Warriors fan, and you and I have talked about this, and everyone has talked about this a little bit, who are you rooting for if you're thinking in terms of trades or free agency, et cetera, right? So, Kareth, let me ask you again. Do Warriors fans root for Milwaukee or don't root for Milwaukee? Do you root for the 76ers or not? I think I know the answers to those if you're Warriors fans, but
I mean, I root for good stories and I root for good teams. Like for the Bucks question, are you asking like, would Giannis be more or less inclined to leave Milwaukee should they win a championship this season? Is that like, what's the subtext here?
Because yeah. Okay. So Giannis, for Warriors fans that want Giannis, right? Are they looking at this? Do they say, well, if he wins a championship there, he goes, well, I won one for you guys and now I can leave. Or does he go, we're a winning team, I need to stay here. On the flip side, if they lose, I mean, if they lose early in the playoffs, that can't be a good thing for their prospects of keeping Giannis, if you're a Warriors fan. Or would you say it's the opposite?
I mean, but I also see, you can argue every single thing here. Giannis might say, I believe in this team and we have unfinished business. I'm going to stay to see it through. Or if the Bucks win, it's like, well, I want to build a dynasty. I'm going to stay. I think Giannis is not going to come to the Warriors. I think he's going to sign the max with the Bucks. And there hasn't been any, there's been no like breadcrumbs from his agent or like sources close to Giannis say he's feeling disgruntled in Milwaukee. Like there's nothing to kind of pave the path for him right now to like put that into fans' minds that maybe he's leaving. He's not sending warning shots through the media, you know, for the Bucks front office to be like, hey, I'm feeling unhappy here. So to me, it says that's a healthy situation that he's not sending those breadcrumbs or shots. I just don't see him leaving. And I know the Warriors, I know Warriors fans are used to being a top free agent destination. Kevin Durant was that guy. The Warriors spend money usually in normal circumstances. So maybe like, hey, bring guys here. Everybody wants to play with Steph and Clay and for Steve Kerr. I just don't see Giannis in the situation. I don't. And I kind of wish this would, I know it's fun to talk about. I know fans are excited, but I really just don't see this.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a fun topic for fans to kind of speculate on. I completely agree with you. I'm going to give it a 94% chance he doesn't come. That's my.
I thought you were going to say, just for the sake of debate, a 94% chance that he does come.
No. 94, I'm giving it a 6% chance he goes to the worst. But an interesting situation would play out. So first of all, one thing, if you're a Warriors fan and you have rivalries, right? If you don't want the Rockets to win the championship, if you don't want LeBron to win the championship, one thing you may want is the Bucks to go as far as possible and be as hot as possible because they might be the team that could actually beat any of these teams. That's one consideration. Then what if the Bucks play the 76ers in the next round, right? And then all of a sudden, so many teams are like, do you want that team to win, that team to win? So there are a lot of fun circumstances that can be played out if you're a Warriors fan, just rooting for different possibilities. But yeah. In general, I think it's just going to be I think if you look at this as a March Madness tournament, Gareth, one thing, there's going to be a Cinderella team. Something weird's going to happen. I'm not saying they're going to win it all. I'm not going to say that. But, like, there's going to be a surprise team that makes a conference finals. That's my prediction.
Okay. I sort of like that because the players right now are even saying, like, this is such a weird circumstance. We're in, you know, the same hotel with a bunch of other teams. We're going to play games every day. This is like AAU. Or just like March Madness. Because there's been such a long layoff, and the reboot of the NBA is in, you know, very unique circumstances, I do feel like the situation is ripe for some surprises. I think the locker rooms that have the veteran leadership, or even the young guys who have their heads right, who are really buckling down and having their entire focus on what they're doing, have the strength to maybe go far, like you said. I think these are where you're going to see the characters of some teams be shown. And then also, you know, some of the players were talking about their concern for soft tissue injuries from going to like nothing for so long or training on their own, which isn't the same as playing at game speed on a court with your teammates, but just the speed at which this has ramped up to all of these games. You know, like there are six games on Friday, you're going to end up playing a game every day, every other day. That's pretty intense after a long layoff. So I hope the health of players continues as well. Not just the COVID stuff, but none of the knick-knacky injuries. You know, I don't want to see guys leaving on crutches because they did something to their knee or their ankle. You know what I mean? Can I please? I want to wave my little magic wand and say like, ding, no injuries for the rest of the year. Ding, no injuries next season either. I would most definitely ding the Warriors after everything they went through last season. Oh, to have that magic wand.
I mean, if you had that magic wand, I think there's a few other things you could do. Not that the injuries to the NBA is not important, but like I feel like there's certain things right now in the world that you could use that magic wand for better. I'm not going to name them, but
I would. I'd be like, ding, save the UPS. Wait, the Postal Service, not the UPS.
USPS.
The Postal Service.
USPS.
Ding, student debt is eliminated. Yes.
And also, Steph Curry's ankles are fine.
Yes, nobody gets evicted. Oh, yeah. God.
Okay.
No, I imagine the Warriors are going to be watching this. And actually, I wonder, would they end up in one of those? I mean, do you think the NBA is going to that regional pod idea for next season?
I mean, that was an interesting story.
Yeah, your buddy Drew Schiller wrote about, like, well, and this was based off something that Woj reported following a conversation with Michelle Roberts that she had with Tim Von Temps. Listen, I'm just going to, okay, yeah, there you go. But it's like a who said what. So
Kevin Bacon, I think, is somewhere in that.
6 degrees, baby. Yeah, but maybe if things continue, if the rest of America looks like this, maybe there has to be like a bubble for next season as well. And then, okay, would that be regional bubbles? Would there be like an East and West one? And your buddy Drew came up with this idea, like, what if there are two bubbles, 15 teams, they play a month, they take a month off, go home and see their families. Like, is that doable? Yeah, it's doable. I guess anything is doable. Are fans in the building for that though? Because the NBA wants fans back if it's appropriate and safe. So I don't know. Is everything a bubble?
I mean, is it a bubble if fans come in? What's a bubble then? I think no matter what, the NBA is trying to get fans back in. That is how much money they make. There was an article written by ESPN that the Warriors make somewhere around $5 million. You know, these are
per game.
Per game. So yeah, even if they're making a fourth of that, they would very much like to have that money if the fans in the stands. So I do think there are situations that they could make regional pods and this and that, but I think these are just all the different scenarios that they could possibly think of right now. Mm-hmm. If they go into December and they don't see a realistic vaccine coming or a realistic chance that the fans could be back in the arena, I don't know how long they would wait and push the season, thinking that fans can just eventually come back in the arena. I think they'd want to start, because you can't have this open-ended thing going into February being like, are they coming in yet? So yeah. I think the regional pods is an interesting development. It's an interesting idea, because you can't play 6 or 7 months in a bubble without seeing your families.
Yeah.
That's now how baseball is not doing so hot right now with COVID stuff, how they, and then more importantly, the NFL does it later on. And they're not in bubbles. So how they handle it will actually be an interesting test for the NBA next season, because NFL is even talking about getting fans in the stands. Yeah. And college football is as well. So
We talked about this a little bit last podcast. Basketball is an indoor game. It's a little bit more suitable for a bubble. Like, mm-hmm. Have everybody arrive there, play your games inside. I was wondering, would the Warriors, should this regional bubble thing happen, would they advocate to be one of the bubble sites? Is it even up to teams, or would it have to be like totally neutral? Would it have to be Vegas, because there's no team in Vegas?
Right.
But I would imagine if you're gonna have a bubble, a regional bubble, like San Francisco would be a great place to do it. Chase Center would be a great place to do
Absolutely.
It. And you have ways to house all of these teams. So I wonder if that would be something that Joe Lacob and maybe Bob Myers would say, hey guys. Now listen, I have this other idea, because Orlando has been very successful. There is a testing protocol. There are some rigorous rules there. You have to wear your mask. You have to be socially distant. So, and there have been no COVID tests out of the players that have been tested. So, Grant, what if the whole nation were a bubble?
What?
What if the whole nation, like every state, followed those protocols? And every state had leadership that listened to scientists that helped curb the virus. What do you think? What if the whole nation was a bubble?
Listen, I can't live in these utopian worlds that you have where people like listen to smart people and do the things that you're recommended to do. I can't live in that world. I personally would rather live in the world where everyone gets to decide who gets to live or not.
That's a fun lip wheel.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing
concept by you there, Kareth. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how that would actually work, besides actually, the exact way that everyone tells you how it would work.
I don't know. We can talk about health in a different way, because Kevon Looney, 100%. His agent says he is 100%. That's so nice to hear. That story was coming from, where'd that one come from?
That was his agent, wasn't it?
Yes, Wes Goldberg had that. Looney has been through so much. Last season, it was the neuropathy. There was the stuff that was bothering his hamstrings, and then they kind of learned that it was maybe this syndrome, not something that would go away, but something that he had to manage. That kept him from playing games last season. Then when he did get back to playing games, he had the core muscle issue. He needed surgery on that. even thinking back to the finals, you know, against the Raptors, he had that, the cartilage fracture. Yeah. It was like his sternum and where his ribs met, which is like supposed to be really painful. How do you lift your arms when you've got something like that? He's also had two hip surgeries in his career. So do you know what, like, if there's anyone out here, my magic wand is out again. Ding, come on, Looney. I bless you with health for the rest of your career.
And he's still somehow like 17 years old, by the way.
He's
like,
he's still what?
He's still like 17 years old or something. That guy just doesn't. It's amazing for his career, how long his career he's been like with the Warriors. I feel like he's been with them for a decade. He's still
either 24 or 25.
Yeah, he's 24 or 25 years old.
Yeah, yeah. But Steve Kerr is like, he's a foundational piece of what we're trying to do. Even though he's that young, he feels like a 10-year vet. I mean, Kevon Looney puts his head down. He works. He performs for you when he can, when he's healthy. He's just a worker, and he's been through so much. So I'm overjoyed to hear that he's 100%. The Warriors aren't playing, so they have to rest right now, which means he gets time to work on his body, and that's so wonderful. I feel like Kevon is often forgotten in these conversations when we're talking about Steph's injuries or Clay's injuries, but Kevon is somebody that I truly root for, and it's excellent to hear he's on the mend.
Absolutely. I talk about good news. I think Kevon Looney, going into this season when people didn't know what the Warriors were going to be able to do and what the roster would be, he was so important for their defense. And defense is something that helps wins championships. I think some person once said that. Yeah. The Warriors need Kevon Looney, which is a scary thing because of his injury history. But with their roster construction right now, he is absolutely integral to that defense. If you even look at this season, the very, very, very small sample size that Kevon played, the defense was so much better with him on the court. Even when, especially in the beginning of the season, later in the season when he was trying to come back, he wasn't in the same shape and the team was already different. But with him and Draymond Green out there together, the defense is significantly better. So just having his presence, even if it's for 15 to 20 minutes a game, that is a big deal. His name is starting to come up a lot in trade rumors. And the reason they're doing that, and there is actually no teams, there's no like actual interest for anybody right now. You can't do that. But the reason Kevon's name comes up is because of his contract. He is one of the only movable contracts on the team. So if the Warriors are trying to match salaries, et cetera, Kevon's name gets thrown in all the time now. That's just who it is. It's Wiggins and it's Kevon.
Yeah.
The Warriors don't want to trade Kevon Looney. If he's healthy, he's huge for them, and he's really at a reasonable price for what he can bring. It's just so difficult always saying if healthy. And that's the problem right now. And even if he comes into the season fully healthy, you just don't know. And I feel so bad for the guy. And for some reason, people hold that against the player as if
injuries.
He chose to get hurt. Like he's just, or he's weak because he gets hurt or something like that. I've never understood that mindset. People are like, what a waste of time. That guy always gets hurt. Like he's garbage.
I want to see him play one pickup game. I want to see him be like full court in a pickup game. That's it. Like call your own foul. Not even no contact pickup games.
Exactly. So anyway, I do feel for the guy, but it is something the Warriors need to weigh. How much can you rely on him? And truthfully, you can't. And that's kind of the situation you've come to. If they can keep him healthy and they keep him on the roster the next season, and he actually plays majority of the season, man, that's found gold right there. That is found money. They would be very excited for that to happen. So I'm rooting for him. I'm a fan of his game. I love the way he plays out there. And it would just be fun to see him healthy. It just really would be fun for his own good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Because he's a gamer too. He's going to do whatever the team asks him to. That's often coming off the bench. So if he can give you 10, 15, 20, that's excellent. Maybe Marquise Chris starts at center. He's not really the prototypical center either, but he was excellent last season as a starter. So you've got those two guys. Steve Kerr talked a lot this season about maybe adding another center. Which is kind of, there was so much talk about how much the league is changing and how like, maybe you don't need 7-footers anymore. You need guys who can pop out and shoot those threes. So 7-footers are trying to do that. Or, you know, you have like your small ball lineups, but centers are an important part of what the Warriors want to do. You want that lob threat. You want that vertical threat up there too. So I wonder if the Warriors are thinking about adding a center. Are we circling back to this conversation about James Wiseman? The center coming out of Memphis, played 3 games with Memphis. He was kind of tangled up in something with the NCAA and said, fine, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to train on my own, and I'm going to be ready for the draft. What about Wiseman?
Okay, so this is going to be a really annoying caveat I'm about to say right now, but we're in this realm, and this is just how it works, where we get to pick prospects and say, could they be a fit? Whatever. We don't know where the Warriors are picking right now. We have this assumption, there's this weird assumption, because the Warriors finished with the worst record, that they're just they're the number one pick. Don't
worry. Topsy turvy, they'll get the number one. Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. The odds are very high against them being the number one pick. Very high. They have a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. By my math skills, beep, 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 that's 86% chance they don't get the number one pick. So the point is, Kareth is still whoa.
Numbers above my head. No,
The Galifianakis meme of from The Hangover, all the numbers going. So we don't necessarily know if the Warriors will just have their pick of the litter being I want that guy. But let's say they do for a second and James Wiseman is on the board and they get a chance to take him. I have gone so far back and forth, Kareth, about what I feel about Wiseman for this particular team. Because we're talking win now, right? Win now, win now. The guys are ready. Wiseman is 14 years old. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's going to be 19. He was born in 2001.
Whew, let me take a breath. Yeah.
Professional athlete born in 2001. I remember when people were born in 1990. I was God. Wow. Yeah, 2001.
So, but win now, do you think if they drafted him, would he step in and play right away? Because the Warriors like to develop guys.
Yeah.
But he would be the number one pick. How do you send the number one pick down to the G League?
You don't, and you can't waste an asset like that. That's why so many people are you have to trade that pick away. Well, we don't know what the trademark is. In fact, people are probably going to trade away picks because they don't have the money to afford first-round picks right now. So I don't know what the market's going to be for a first-round pick. So let's just assume for a second they have to keep their first-round pick. This is a guy that's going on their team. James Wiseman fills a need. And that is important, right? There's only so many needs the Warriors have, and then one of them is a center like him. He can shot block. He runs the floor, very athletic. He's not one of those bodies you have to develop in the NBA. He's already coming in with an NBA-ready body. He's been relatively healthy in his young life.
He's
19 years on this planet. So he has all these great features about him, but there are 3 things going against him. Number one, inexperience. He just hasn't played. How do you just rely on a guy who has not played? That's number one. So you also don't know how to kind of scout him. How do you know? And in draft workouts are going to be a little different. I don't know if you do draft workouts over Zoom. You're now shoot the ball.
Anthony Slater did report that they have had a Zoom conversation with him. Right. And that Wiseman is high on the Warriors list as somebody they want to see in an in-person workout, whenever that can happen. But they want to scrutinize him in person. Maybe there would be a draft combine down the road in person, TBD.
Okay, so that's number one, inexperience, right? Number two, defense. Yes, he can stand at the rim and block some shots. But in today's NBA, the center, it's so imperative that they can switch out and guard smaller guys, quicker guys. That's just the NBA nowadays. You can't be these big lugging centers that get switched on to Steph Curry and now have to pretend that you know what you're doing out there. You have to be able to defend the 3-point line. We don't know. We don't know what Wiseman can do. We've seen very small glimpses, and he's a 19-year-old gigantic person. We don't know what he can do. It's a hard thing to be able to guard that. And finally, Kareth, shooting the ball. Centers never had to rely on this, but you have to be able to do that. And the reason I've gone back and forth on him, this is the number one reason, just watching a clips of his shooting form, he looks like Chris Bosh when he shoots the ball, which is not fair to give him a comparison of that. And could he develop into that? Sure. I mean, Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer eventually. That's where I'm starting getting intrigued, because if he can develop that shot, maybe he's not a great shooter his first year with the Warriors. But in a couple years, if you have anything resembling Chris Bosh at all, you just won the draft.
Yeah.
So that's what's intriguing me. I still don't know what I think. I probably won't know for a long time, and I'll probably make a guess and be wrong. But that's what's going through my head right now.
Yeah, well, if Wiseman were to come join this team, he would be surrounded by great shooters, so the pressure would be off of him. Or when it's his time to shoot, he's got a little bit more time because the defense is sagging off. So that's why it's so important that this whole team is healthy to give other guys a chance to get their shots off. And for Warriors to be able to exploit defenses again, you know, you have the Splash Brothers, you have to guard these dudes, which really spaces the floor for everybody else too. So yeah. I'm intrigued by Wiseman, but then there's always like, I always go back to this. There are two times that I don't believe Jack that a GM is saying, and we don't even know who the source is on this stuff, but there this are two times. Yeah. Leading up to the draft and at the trade deadline. Don't believe like anything you hear about a team is, you know, supposedly whispering like, yeah, this guy's our favorite. All of that stuff is, I just don't. All of that stuff is bait. So yes. Other teams think they have a line on what their competitors are going to do. I don't know.
Yeah, by the way, do you know what the biggest bait is? It's not general manager. It's not team officials. It's agents. Agents will put out there that the Warriors are very high on their person. The Warriors may have never said a single word to James Wiseman. I know for a fact, I've heard many times agents say, yeah, we just kind of had to make that up to give some rumors flying around about our guy, get him, you know, get the internet buzzing.
Sure.
Agents probably do just as much as anyone of just throwing stuff out there. That's why general managers a lot of times laugh at reports they hear, because it's like around the trade deadline and draft, they're like, oh yeah, we're interested in Bradley Beal. Okay, that's good to know. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for letting me know. Yeah.
Exactly. So you don't have to believe everything. However, if a name pops up, you can start looking at it as, is it a fit or not? You can have some fun with it. Carrot, this is so off topic, but I have to bring up something. Can I bring up something? Am I allowed to?
I absolutely love these. Yes. Yes, you may. These tangents are a lot of fun.
Did you see Tom Haberstroh? He does his Haberstats, which I believe is a direct ripoff of Granalytics, but we'll talk about that another time. Tom put out this Haberstat of free throws without fans, right? He said, here's how free throws have gone for exhibition play so far, the percentage during free throws versus in the regular season when fans were there trying to distract. Okay.
Nope, didn't see that, but tell me.
Okay. In the regular season, they shot better, but you have to account for rust, etc., going into this and just adjusting. But here's what I'm thinking. Game 7 of the NBA Finals coming up. If there is a game 7. I don't know. I just guessed it. You're at the free throw line with seconds left. You have to tie the game. Wouldn't you almost rather a crowd scream their head off at you rather than absolute silence in an arena?
Yes.
I can't figure out which one's worse, but I think that's worse.
I think you want to be in your comfort zone. And as a professional player, you've learned to tune stuff out. So when you're kind of expecting to like go inside yourself and have that concentration, you expect noise. You expect something to block.
Right.
And if there's absolute silence there and it's not coming from inward, so you're concentrating, it's coming from outward, wouldn't that be really strange? Yeah.
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 Don't you think your thoughts more?
Or there's the people like, I wonder if honestly, like people who go like this, kind of shifting like the viewpoint behind the basket, does that matter at all? I don't know.
It would distract me.
Yeah. I don't know. That's why, like, the idea of icing a kicker, especially like in football.
Yes.
When you expect it, you're not icing anybody. Like, I think just let him kick the ball.
That's the point. Exactly.
Yeah.
You want him to think, are they going to call a timeout or not?
Yeah.
If you call the timeout, he knows you're not going to ice him again. So he can just concentrate on the kick. Don't call the timeout. Because if you call the timeout, he's wondering, am I kicking this for real or am I going to get a timeout call?
Yeah.
You
don't or they're kind of waiting like corner of their eye, like, okay,
yeah, exactly.
It's happening. I'll go through the motions, but like, come on, you know, ice me, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense not to ice the kicker because you're actually icing him by not. But,
I know.
I was just thinking, yeah, in terms of the free throws, that's difficult to figure out. And then finally, if the NBA's pumping in crowd noise, will they like amp up, like, does the NBA get to choose how much volume they're putting on that free throw in the end? Is it a home versus away? Away, they go, oh, no one's talking. A home game, or no, away game for the player, their opponents, you know, arena, they pump up the volume really loud.
Yeah. Well, for the players, I think there's been a lot of communication about and extremely unusual circumstances, making this feel as normal as possible. That's why there's crowd noise. That's why there's a DJ playing. That's why there's a PA announcer when there's no public, you know, that kind of stuff. Right. So to answer your questions, yes, I think so. If it's a tense moment in a game where usually there would be more noise, I bet maybe somebody's turning a dial up at least a little bit to simulate that for the players.
So
we're gonna see like today and tomorrow.
How quickly is the Rockets gonna send a memo to the league that they put up the crowd noise too loud for their shots versus?
I don't know. Maybe, or calling too many fouls.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get my popcorn ready. My phone is charged because I expect to spend a lot of time on NBA Twitter today as I watch these
live
games.
Tweeting. Yep.
I don't like live. I don't just jokes. If I got a fire joke, I'll send those out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I'm glad sports are back. That's a huge part of my life. But have you seen what Clay is doing when there's no basketball? Like what he's up to? Because sports is only a part of my life. But Clay has a boat.
Yes.
He's been out on this boat, and he says he's also been mountain biking. Which is pretty awesome. To mountain bike, your knee needs to be strong. So that's that's great if he's feeling good and you know the cardiovascular stuff is back for him. Awesome. A boat and mountain biking. Yeah. Where does Clay park the boat? Where does he?
That's a good point. I think he's in LA. So is he on? Yeah, he must have a marina or something.
But he's fishing. He likes to fish.
Yeah,
he's posting about like playing chess with Rocco. Like I think Clay is like, he is one with himself right now. He's enjoying the time.
He is. The first thing, unfortunately, I thought of when I thought of mountain bike is like, man, that sounds dangerous. That's the first thing I thought of. Is that bad? I don't know. I'm assuming Rick Celebrini's like, you're doing what? I don't know. It's just not for his knee, but just in general, like you fall.
At least
I would. Maybe he's just so skilled.
Okay.
No, but like wrist. You like fall and like land on your wrist.
That's true. Like you don't want to, I mean, it depends like how hardcore of a mountain biker like what he's doing right now, but
right. I mean, the Warriors, Monte Ellis got in a lot of trouble. He tore up his leg because he was on a moped and he fell, you know?
Yeah.
I'm bringing negative.
No. But I'm saying if there's anyone, Clay will not jeopardize a damn thing to get back on the court next season. After what he just went through, the length of an ACL rehab it sucks. Mentally and physically, it sucks. So I would imagine his hunger to play again next season will make his risk for danger extremely low. I trust Clay on this one.
You're right. And I'm going to spin it for a positive too here. One of the greatest things about Clay Thompson is his ability just to zone out everything and just kind of do his thing and not be crumpled to pressure, et cetera. One of the biggest fears you have when a player comes back from a bad injury is that they're thinking about their leg the whole time and making sure they're not hurt. Maybe Clay Thompson's just so Clay Thompson that he already zones it out and he can just do his life and mountain bike and do what he's doing and maybe bring that attitude towards the court and not even worry about his leg, which will then prevent injuries because you're not thinking about it too much.
There you go. May we all have the zen of Clay Thompson. Really. I want to be in a black and white video where I'm standing in the ocean. May we all have our mental game as strong as Clay Thompson's. Grant, we've talked about so much. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
Mountain biking, free throws in silence. We talked about strip clubs and wings last time. I think I'm good.
Think we're good? Awesome. Nice. Well, next time we'll have some games to talk about, some stuff to talk about, maybe some juicier storylines. And Warriors fans, please let us know what you want us to talk about. Thank you for listening. Thank you for getting in our DMs. Thank you for letting us know what's up. Rate, subscribe. We appreciate you. And we'll be back again soon with a new episode of the Run and Plays podcast.